I've never been asked about Sharia law at a town hall. I just haven't. I will tell you.
What if I told you there's a scientific reason why eating with your hands might actually be healthier for you?
I was the only one to get pulled over. I was the only one to get detained for 2 hours. Then this IDF soldier told me.
His former foe, and now they're buddies.
I've spoken about the Israeli government.
Muslim American, we had everybody and it was beautiful.
I asked a question about Epstein, but I wrote down every question.
They went after him for eating with his hands.
Do you think you met with a jihadist?
By calling Zohra Mamdani a jihadist. Do you think you're standing next to a jihadist right now?
I mean, what would you say to Elon?
What happens is people start dehumanizing another person. I've seen this happen to Charlie. He's like, I love Netanyahu. He's a war hero.
Unbelievable. So, but imagine the people there who are on a constant.
This is the danger. This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings and peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Thank you for tuning in. We got another exciting episode for you. Today's guest is one of the founders of Muslims for Trump. Yes, Dr. Matt. He actually helped Trump get elected, flipping Michigan. We got a lot to talk about. Let's bring him on. How are you? Assalamu alaikum.
Like Sam, how are you doing?
Good, good, alhamdulillah. So tell me, you actually helped get Trump elected, is that right?
Yeah, you know, we were working with, Rick Grenell. He's one of Trump's close advisors. And, you know, he advised us, so we start this group because the Muslims are very important demographic in Michigan. So, you know, we got together, we did a few events up there with the mayor of Hamtramck. You know, he's running, he's been nominated to be an ambassador right now. And, you know, it took a little bit of convincing, but the results came out and decisively Trump won Dearborn. And I think our efforts definitely paid off there.
I was talking to one community leader, a scholar, a person who was also really getting fed up with all of the sexualization of children, with all of the thousand genders and all the other madness that was happening. And they wanted change. So they were trying to see of the lesser of the two evils. And they were like, okay, hopefully Republicans will come in and we got so much in common. But now he was like, where are the liberals? At least they didn't want to kill us. So now what do you say to that? Because we see like, and you're seeing it also, we have some people, and it's a shame. It's not everybody, but it's a good number. Or is it just the algorithms that people are buying it? You actually had another politician, we'll talk about that you asked this person about that. And Marjorie Taylor, is that who it is?
And yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Mm-hmm.
They're making it seem like this Sharia boogeyman's coming. Muslims are the threat now. And it's almost like, hey, they're going to come after us like they did in Bosnia. I don't know if you're familiar with the Chetniks and the extremist Serbs. And next thing you know, neighbors were taking out neighbors. And it seems like this is what's it's stirring up. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
You know, I think this is all just ginned up from the Zionist lobby because they've come to realize that being pro-Israel is just not selling anymore. So you got to do what the next best thing is for them, which is to scare people when it comes to Muslims. That's basically their game plan. And they're doing a big social media campaign about it. And again, you see my clip with Marjorie Taylor Greene. We had a Zoom call with her and I just straight up asked her. I'm like, listen, when you go to your town halls, do people come up to you and ask you about Sharia law? And she said, no, people don't.
Here, hold on, hold on. One second, doctor. Let's see. Let's show the people what we're actually talking about. Like, we'll play that clip.
Sharia law at a town hall.
I got to speak with Marjorie Taylor Greene tonight, and I asked her one of the things I was worried about, which is all this Sharia law Muslim concern I see on X. Is it really in real life as well, or just on social media? And this is what she had to say.
Oh no, my constituents talk about the same problems that plague you and everyone on this call. I've never been to a town hall. I've never been asked about Sharia law at a town hall. I just haven't. I will tell you, I do think there's a paid social media influencer campaign going on X, because that's the only social media platform that I truly see it on. And there's a company called Influenceable. You can look it up. It's owned by Brad Parscale. He's registered as a foreign agent working for Israel. So he went ahead and registered months ago. And his company, Influenceable, has thousands of social media accounts on X. And so they run campaigns. I'm pretty certain that they're attached to my account because I can post something on X and within 30 seconds, I can watch comments just unfold in there and it's straight up hate against me. And so I check that out. I don't have a way to prove it though, because there's no laws requiring these social media accounts to have to disclose who pays them, which I'm also trying to push. I wish Elon Musk would do it and force these accounts to be labeled a certain way or have a disclaimer. And I've been talking to people here in Washington about it. So that would be a hard thing for me to get done. But I think it's a lot mostly on X, and I think it is paid, and it's probably coming from Israel or APAC donors in the country.
There you have it.
It's interesting. You spoke with her, you know, years ago. I don't know when she kind of flipped, and she was repeating some of the same talking points that many of these politicians who have no clue about, you know, Islam, Muslims, and she was talking pretty much the same stuff. What happened? How did she stop all of a sudden? What happened with her?
You know, Marjorie, I think, has always just been an independent thinker. You know, she's really like someone who just came from like normal people, wanted to go to DC and make a difference. We typically don't get people like that. If you notice, a lot of the politicians, they're either like city council, state house rep, and they kind of work the ladder. And by the time they get to federal office, they've been so propagandized. Mm-hmm. I think Marjorie was just the type of person who was just like a regular person, got straight into US Congress. And then after a while, just looking at this, like, this doesn't make any sense. Because objectively speaking, if you look at it, our policy when it comes to how we treat Israel does not benefit our country directly. So she just starts asking questions and you just come to the natural conclusion where basically you and I are right now, that, you know, supporting this country, supporting Israel and just Islamophobia doesn't benefit America in any way.
Do you, when you spoke to her, it was interesting because if you would just get your education from X, you would think like there's Muslims are taking over and you would think that's the biggest issue now that we're facing is this threat of Muslims. But then she just said it right here, like her constituents, like when you're talking with her, they're bringing real issues to her and nobody's ever actually mentioning this word at all. That's really profound.
I'll go a step further because honestly, I thought maybe Margie was just being nice to me, you know? Yeah. But then I decided to go to my own congressman's town hall a few days later, Congressman Keith Self here in Collin County, Texas. And they all know me. And they know who I am. So I'm just sitting there. I asked a question about Epstein, but I wrote down every question. There was 26 questions. Only one was about Sharia law. That's it. Everyone else is worried about all sorts of other stuff. But like you said, you turn on X, you would think like that's the entire discussion on the conservative side of the country, which is just like completely artificial.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, recently also, now that Trump got elected, they went from being foes to friends. What are your thoughts now with Mamdani and Trump? And it was interesting to see now Mamdani, and we're not talking about, you know, some of his policies and that. I'm not getting into the politics there, but it's obvious they went after him because he's Muslim. They went after him for eating with his hands. And before I have you comment on that, I just want to play a video here. And it's very interesting that, you know, when science comes out, when people come out with new information, I think after this video you watch, I'm getting actually motivated to start eating more with my hands.
What if I told you there's a scientific reason why eating with your hands might actually be healthier for you? If you look at ancient cultures, people have been eating with their hands for thousands of years. In Ayurvedic medicine, it's believed that eating with your hands basically helps you connect with your food and digest it more efficiently. And now, science is backing that up. When your fingers touch food, the nerve endings send signals to your brain telling it about the texture, temperature, and portion size. That simple touch activates your parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest mode, and here's something most people don't know. Clean hands naturally carry beneficial bacteria that can support your gut microbiome, adding healthy diversity that keeps your digestion balanced. Maybe don't try this at a fancy restaurant, but if you're at home, alone, or with your family, try eating with your hands. Notice how it feels. You might be surprised how much more alive your food actually tastes. If you found this helpful,
You're a doctor also, right?
I'm an eye surgeon.
You're an eye surgeon.
So you don't want to ever see me or else you're in trouble.
Yeah. So what do you think now? I mean, the hand connection and everything, and now Trump from foe to friend, and they're in the White House together. And he actually also criticized this country that's committing, you know, something in 4K, you know, annihilating kids and whatnot. Yeah. And Gaza, and he actually, you know, spoke about it right in front of his former foe, and now they're buddies. What are your thoughts?
You've accused the U.S. government of committing genocide in Gaza while President Trump was working on peace. Why that?
I've spoken about the Israeli government committing genocide, and I've spoken about our government funding it. And
well, first of all, I don't eat rice with my hands. Everything else for me is fair game, and I have no shame. Like, I'll go to a fancy steakhouse. I'll get the bone-in ribeye. Because everyone's like cutting it up and everything. Once I'm done cutting it up, I shamelessly pick it up with a napkin at the bone. I start chewing it in front of everyone. So to me, it's not a shame thing. I don't care. I'm getting every single bit of meat off of that bone. Yeah. So that's just me when it comes to eating with my hands. I have no shame when it comes to that. As far as what's going on with, you know, Mamdani and Trump, you know, and I've said this before, and I make videos too. I've been giving the president a lot of crap ever since he won, because I'm pretty objective. You know, there's a lot of things he does I don't agree with, like bringing in all these Chinese students, increasing H-1B, giving money to Argentina, Israel, all this stuff. But I give the man credit when he does the right thing. And from his meeting with Mamdani, you know, again, he shows that he is the most politically talented person in the Republican Party. Because if you've noticed, Trump doesn't say anything about Muslims since January, since he got elected. He's really toned that down. It's everyone else talking about Sharia law and all this nonsense. In fact, when Trump won, I don't know if you have the clip, but he thanked a group of people for his victory, and Muslim Americans were one of them.
Muslim American, we had everybody, and it was beautiful.
So I wasn't surprised at all when he was in the White House, and then some reporters like, do you think you met with a jihadist?
By calling Zohra Mamdani a jihadist. Do you think you're standing next to a jihadist right now in the Oval Office?
No, I don't.
And Trump is like, no, I feel like I met with a rational person. But at the same time, it's like, it's Trump. He grew up in New York City. If you grew up in New York City, this chances are you've met a few Muslims, you met all sorts of different people, and you just know, like, you're not going to have a winning message by trying to convince people that Muslims are terrorists. And he understands this, having lived there. But unfortunately, the Republican Party, they don't want to take cues from the leader of the party. Instead, they want to double down on a bunch of bullshit. Excuse me, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse or whatever, but you can bleep it out later. But you can see someone like Elise Stefanik, she didn't get the memo. Like, even after that meeting, she's still trying to say that Mamdani is a jihadist. That's not a winning message. And that's the problem with a lot of these stupid Republican politicians. Instead of listening to Trump, because when it comes to like political messaging, Trump is the best. Like, you can't compare him to like these other Republicans. And this fear mongering, they think that's going to be the ticket for an electoral successful message in the midterms. Honestly, I think they've been buying too much of the same propaganda they've been spewing in X, and it's going to be the detriment of the Republican Party. Because after Trump won with the, this unlocked a new demographic that they haven't had since 2001. And instead of, you know, nurturing this new demographic, which can help us in swing states like Michigan and New Jersey, some people in the Republican Party have decided to piss this away for the benefit of Israel. So think about it. The conservative movement is going to lose new voters, because I have Muslims for Trump. I have a lot of conservative Muslims. They're like, I don't think I can back Republicans with this type of messaging. We are going to lose them for the benefit of Israel. And if you're worried about your country, America, you want constitutional government, conservative agenda, you need to start worrying about how we're going to build a coalition.
Let's talk a little bit more about when you open up whoever uses X, and then I'll open it up, and you'll see people that you haven't subscribed to on X, and the people that you want to get their messages, you're not getting it. It's like you're getting all of these people who are just spewing. I call it, they're like in retard mode. You know, all of this madness is just coming. I mean, it just gets your blood pressure up.
Yeah.
Is it happening to you too?
Yes, it is. It's happening all the time. That's why I have to ask Marjorie about it.
Uh-huh. I mean, what would you say to Elon?
I don't know what they got on him, honestly. Do you remember that clip, like when it first happened October 7th, like Elon was on Lex Fridman and he was like, yeah, I can understand, you know, why someone in Gaza may decide to join a terrorist group because their family's
being killed. He had some empathy, yeah.
Yeah. And then Ben Shapiro took him to Auschwitz, and then the messaging just changed. So I don't know what to tell him. If they got something on him, I don't think anything gonna matter. But I can tell you one thing, it's definitely hurting the conservative movement. And again, if you think, if you want to benefit Israel, then sure, you can think this may work. But if you want to benefit America, no, this is not the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually, this has really gotten concerning to the point that you are tweeting, thinking that there would be something that'd be motivated by hate, and this constant demonization of Muslims is going to lead to the same thing that happened to Charlie Kirk, some kind of attack on a mosque. That's what were predicting?
That's what I predict. I made a video about that because I've seen all the telltale signs. You know, the political discourse becomes so toxic that what happens is people start dehumanizing another person. I've seen this happen to Charlie. They dehumanize him, and all it takes is one person out of millions who are looking at this content to lose their mind and decide to go do something. And now with Muslims, you see this is like really amplified, and it's just all over the place. And it's not just a random person. You got like elected officials pushing this crap. How long do you think until some unhinged person decides to think, believe this? Because some of them are saying like Islam is a threat to Western civilization. Like you have this lunatic, Valentina Gomez, running in Texas, in the state I'm in, saying that Muslims are trying to kill everybody. We got the guy running for railroad commissioner in Texas saying that his platform is to stop Muslims from killing us. Like, at what point do you think, like, this is not going to trigger some person who's already mentally unstable to decide to take actions against Muslims?
Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised I've invited some of these people who were actually real people. You have, I think, a lot of bots. Would you agree there's a lot of bots out there also on this? That
it's 100%.
Yeah.
You can tell because the messaging, and Marjorie kind of alluded to this, so you look at the comments, as soon as they post something, within like 10 seconds, it's the same comment within all these different like fake profiles. It's almost word for word. That doesn't happen naturally. It's clearly bots. Yeah.
But then you have someone like Anthony Hudson, who is kind of just also repeating the same thing, but then he goes down to Detroit. Well, yeah, he's actually from Michigan. And then he goes down there and then he makes a video in a mosque saying this is all lies. We've been fed lies. But then people still want to believe the lies, the fake news. But when it comes to everything else, when Trump made up the term fake news, everyone was like, yeah, fake news, fake news. But then when it comes to Muslims, it's like, I'm going to believe the fake news. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, again, I think it's really just a minority of people who are actually buying into it. Because, again, like when I go to these town halls, most people are not asking about it. The thing is, it's like they want us to think it's happening. But, you know, I like Muslims, like, listen, you need to just focus on being a good American. Because that's the issue we have in our community. Like, we don't want to, like, integrate. We don't want to assimilate. We just want to have our own little neighborhoods. Like, when I talk to some of them, they just want to keep saying we, referring to the other country. I'm like, no, dude, listen, you've been here for, like, 30-something years. This is your country. Some people are like, I don't like America because of the foreign policy. I don't like the foreign policy either. In fact, the foreign policy is against everything in the Constitution. So, you know, we need to try to make the country better. Like, we intrinsically understand, like, if someone decides to do something that's against the Bible, like commit heinous acts, we understand that they're not following the Bible. That means they're not a good Christian. Same thing with Muslims. They do something bad. We understand that they're not following the Quran. They're doing something that's against Islam. But for some reason, people have a mental block when it comes to the country of America. Like, oh, the government's doing a bad thing. Well, yeah, the government hates the Constitution. Doesn't mean I don't be proud of my flag. I don't try to make my country better. But that's what we need to do to combat this, because they're trying to demoralize us to think like, oh, America hates you. America, this, just give up. No. We double down. This is my country, and I'm going to expose what's happening, which is this guy who went to Michigan. He's not a Christian. He's running around waving a cross. This clips of him at the wall with the whole getup on his forearm. He's bragging on a clip saying his sister serves in the IDF and he's a person. Like, we're not going to let them demoralize us. Okay. We're going to be Americans, and we're going to do what's best for our country.
Have you tried to, I know I have, I've tried to speak to people who are out there, the real accounts, you know, like the Steven Crowder and others who also have this blind hate, I believe, if they would just sit, talk with educated Muslims. I also invited, and I had a brief conversation with a Derek Evans. He's a former J6 political, well, they call him political prisoner. He was a Christian, and he's just pops up in my timeline, and he's got all this just nonsense. And I'm like, let's have a conversation. Come on. I mean, we got a big platform here. Come on, go ahead. And if you can actually reach more people through my platform, if you have some truth, you want to get out there. But it seems like they just are really I don't know what it is. They're scared, fearful to sit and talk with a Muslim. What are your thoughts on that? Have you experienced
this? Did he respond or he just ignored you?
No, he responded privately in the DMs. We had a little conversation and
what was his reason for not coming on? Because what you said makes perfect sense. You believe what you gotta say. We got a platform to say with your chest. What did he say to that?
I mean, he just I gotta look back, but pretty much he's just like he's not accepting invitation, basically. You know, I invited him to come on.
That's how you know. That's how you know if their foundation is weak. If their foundation was strong, you'd be more. I mean, you're a popular show. You got like 1.5 million people on YouTube. You got like 6 million on Facebook. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? You want to come on the Dean Show? That's crazy.
Yeah. You've been also following this, the developments with the Epstein. Can you bring us up to speed with what's happening with Thomas Macy? You're a fan of his also, the Epstein bill. Could you let us know what's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, Thomas is a good guy. You know, we did a fundraiser for him last year at my house. He actually stayed over at the night. Really good guy, you know. And when I first
you
met
know,
him,
you know him, you met him personally. You know Macy personally, though.
Yes, I know him pretty well. You know, we became acquainted like a year and a half ago. And when I met him, you know, at a fundraiser, because I'm a Ron Paul guy. That's how I got into politics since 2008. And you know, when
I like
and
Ron
I talk,
Paul.
We're basically,
I like Ron Paul.
I'm sure you do. A lot of Muslims understand like his foreign policy is on point. But for me, it's even beyond that. Like I agree with like all the domestic stuff and all that. So you know, Matthew and I get very close when it comes to these issues. And you know, he is a true fighter because he's willing to take the difficult votes, and especially on his stuff like the Epstein. Now, you know what Thomas had to do was to get 218 votes to bypass our spineless speaker, Mike Johnson, because Mike Johnson didn't want to bring up the Epstein stuff for a vote. And you know why he's doing that? It's because the White House told him. Mike Johnson can't think for himself, okay? Mike Johnson was put there because he's just going to follow orders. So Massey bypassed him by getting 218 votes, and Marjorie helped as well to do that. Now, when that happened, then a lot of the Republicans realized, like, okay, I got to vote yes on this. I may have not signed one of the 218 to get it to come up for a vote, but I got to vote for it because Trump's not going to be president all the time. So at that point, Trump just gave up. He's put out a message on Truth Social saying that I was for it the whole time. I'm telling all the Republicans to vote for it. It passes easily in the House, goes to the Senate. They try to mess with the wording. They can't. It stays the same. It gets passed. So now, you know, unfortunately, what it looks like the White House game plan is to say, oh, sorry, we can't release some of it because we just decided to do an investigation on some parts of it. If we release it, it will affect an ongoing investigation. It's like, really? That's funny because, you know, you guys told us earlier that there was nothing prosecutable as far as evidence in it. So now you're investigating when you have to bring it out. So what I think is happening, and I kind of agree with Thomas, I don't think Trump is in it himself. I think who's in it is his powerful donors, some of those people. And they're the same donors that support the Democratic side and the Republican side. That's why there's so much incentive to protect these people. And a lot of it does implicate Israel. Some of this stuff has been coming out in Drop Side News Report by Ryan Grimm. You can see how much Israel and the former prime minister of Israel was involved with Epstein. So I think a lot of this stuff is being done to protect a foreign quote-unquote ally. But to me, I don't think any ally is worth protecting over child rapists and pedophiles.
There was also someone that you posted about, and I want to get your reaction to, and my the audience to see this, is a man by the name of Nima Yamini. Let's get into this video.
I remember going to Tel Aviv once from New York with a bunch of European Ashkenazi Jews. I was the only one to get pulled over. I was the only one to get detained for 2 hours. A few years back, I remember going from Rome to Tel Aviv. I'm the only one that got pulled aside. I'm the only one that basically had to go naked. Then I was told that they would take my belt, my luggage, my iPad, my mobile, or I can't board the flight. I boarded that flight. Then this IDF soldier told me everyone was waiting for me. I paid extra to sit in the front of the fucking plane because I get anxiety when there's too much turbulence and it's easier in the front of the plane. I was instructed to sit in the back of the plane. And I looked at other Ashkenazi European Jews switch as much as they want. I was so pissed off, I left Israel early that trip. And then my boy, who's French and Arab, He said, come meet me in Spain. I went to Spain before going back to New York. I met my wife.
They told him to get back to the back of the bus, basically. But he's, is it because he's not a particular type of man? Because he's a little darker skin? What is your assessment of that?
I've been to Israel myself, and that's exactly what he said.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been to myself. And, you know, I obviously got detained. My last name is Rostemizadeh. My dad's Iranian, so you can imagine how many questions they had for me. But eventually they did let me go. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you're obviously of a certain, like, Ashkenazi or something very similar to that, you're not gonna really have much of a problem. The issue is that with the Israeli society is paranoia everywhere. And that's just what it is. So they're going to even treat their own citizens like this, all for the sake of security. When I was detained, I would even watch Israeli soldiers just yelling at each other. The whole system is just paranoia. And they just can't function in any other way. You know, people talk about, like, just the apartheid in the country as opposed to different rights for, like, Christians and Arabs. You can even see what this guy is saying. Even on within, there is a different hierarchy. And it's not really surprising because the country was predominantly founded by Ashkenazi, not by Sephardic and Mizrahi Jews. So this is just naturally how it's going to be. Now, will their country change? I don't know. But from the trajectory it's going, it looks like it's becoming more and more extreme.
Well, that's interesting now because we talk about it's been by human rights organizations classified as an apartheid state. And then it's one thing when people who are non speak about that, but then this is actually a man who for a long time, you know, I don't think he was even condemning what's going on there from just my, I don't know if you've seen otherwise what was happening over there, but now he's being afflicted by the racism and he's speaking out. They made him back.
I've seen other stuff about him. He's a Zionist, this guy. He thinks Netanyahu's a war hero.
Wow. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, look it up. Nima's page. He outlined his views because he was getting a lot of slack from it. And he's like, let me be clear my views. He's like, I love Netanyahu. He's a war hero.
Unbelievable.
So, it's something like how he's being discriminated. Yeah. So that's why a lot of Zionists are upset with him, because he has a lot of credibility, quote unquote, because he's not someone who's against Israel. He's just telling you what it is.
So imagine now you as a Jewish man, what's his name again? Nami?
Nima Yemeni, I think.
Yeah. So imagine him, how he's flustered, irritated, annoyed. But imagine the people there who are on a constant discrimination, who are constant being oppressed. Imagine what just have a little bit, you know, you had a little taste, but imagine what they've been going through for how long.
No, it's not just him. I mean, we see religious people being beaten in the streets for not wanting to serve anybody. I mean, Israel's not safe for Muslims, for Jews, and for Christians. Like, unless you're down with the Zionist project, and when I say Zionist project, I don't just mean like a homeland for Jewish people. I'm talking about the extermination of the Palestinians from the West Bank for Gaza through military means. If, unless you're down with that project, you will be persecuted. That's just the bottom line.
Back to Mamdani, who actually brought this up right next to Trump. What did you think about that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? You kind of broke out a little bit.
Back to what you were talking about, it was interesting to see Mamdani, who's friends with Trump now at the White House, he actually brought this up, what's happening in Gaza, right in front of Trump.
I've spoken about the Israeli government committing genocide.
And Trump is sitting there listening to this. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you think it's pretty interesting. Trump didn't say anything about
it. Yeah, that was the point. Yeah,
he
didn't.
He probably knows it's like, yeah, the guy has a point. I mean, Trump has said many times it's like a demolition site. I mean, anyone who like objectively look at this, like we've seen the video that just came from AP News, this is not like targeting. This is not surgical strikes. The entire thing has been wiped out. So Trump knows, he's like, listen, I'm not going to burn my political capital to get into back and forth with him, what everyone is seeing. That doesn't make any sense. So mm-hmm. I think Trump played smart.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us, bringing us up to speed on some of the current developments as you follow this along. And any closing advice. So for people out there who have been victimized, I mean, I brought on a very nice man. He's a Republican also. I don't know if you heard of him. These are the conversations we're trying to have. His name is Bruce Fenton. Have you heard of Bruce Fenton?
I saw him on your show because I was trying to do a little research about you. But yeah, no, he did good. I mean, we need to have these voices.
He's somebody, he's an American, he's a patriot, he loves his country, he ran for Senate. But he got to travel. He got out of his hometown, and he really is a critical thinker. And he's somebody who's like, you know, now he's speaking the truth. And we need people who are out there, who are open-minded, who we can have these conversations, Republican, Christian, whoever. And I keep saying, let's talk. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Let's talk. Let's discuss. And what do you have to say about that?
You know, my advice to Muslims would be is that you need to be more involved. And when I'm talking about elections, we know we need to vote in primary elections. Like, a lot of our folks don't understand this. Like, it's not just the election in November. You got to vote in your primary, because that's when the Republicans and Democrats actually pick who decides to go on the ballot. And a lot of the districts, only one party can really win. So we need to just exactly vote on that. As far as messaging, when we talk about America, you know, what's best for our country. And, you know, that's how you really start to change the attitude of how people feel about us and people see us as one of them. You know, someone who I've spoken to before, Sami Hamdi, I think you had him on the show. You know, he was actually at my house. It was just him and I one-on-one. He wanted to ask me about the conservative state, the politics. And we're just talking. He was like, you know, who should we get on Tucker Carlson? We should do this. We should get the Yemeni foreign ambassador and all this stuff. And I'm like, listen, the Yemeni foreign ambassador.
You were talking about Hamdi? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I've had Sami Hamdi. He called me up a few weeks ago, just like a week before I took him in. He's like, hey, Matt, you have time to meet him? I'm like, yeah, come over to the house. Let's talk. He's like, how can we, you know, get maybe some influential Muslim people on Tucker Carlson and change public opinion? And I'm like, listen, a Muslim going on just talking about the problems in Gaza is not going to do it. Okay, we need someone who's going to go on there and talk about how what we're going to do helps America. And, you know, I told Sami, you know, that's how we need the message. And then Sami got detained a week later. And I've been talking to Sami. I'm like, listen, because I don't know if you've noticed, when Sami's now putting out the videos, he's talking about how this is bad for America. American freedoms are being taken away. And I'm like, this is the messaging we need. So now we need to get someone like Sami on Tucker, because now he can understand and explain to how the average American would be like thinking like, wow, this Muslim guy's, he's worried about our constitutional rights. I'm with this guy. And that's how this should be. So, you know, it's really about messaging and what we really care about. And, you know, I advise every Muslim read the Constitution. It's about protecting individual liberty. There's really nothing that I don't agree with, you know, and that's how we can go forward in this country, because there's no other way to run a multi-diverse country like this with different religions and ethnicities. We just have to respect each other's individual rights, vote in primary elections, and just be willing to talk to each other, like you said.
It's like we want to adhere more to the Constitution, the Muslims who are here, living here, and it seems like these people, they're the ones who are being very extreme and radical, and it's like they want to change the Constitution.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. You see it. Like, some of the stuff they put out here, it's just against the Constitution, like trying to restrict freedom of speech. Freedom of speech being restricted for a foreign government? Are you kidding me? Like, this is crazy stuff. And this is how we need to message it. Like, because the more you make people understand that we are trying to do what's best for America, this is not about, like, yes, we don't want our government to be involved in human rights violations. That is wrong. But what really gets people to understand the issue is that your country is being subverted. The foundations of your country is being destroyed, all for the sake of a foreign government. Because some people think they have a religious obligation to set foreign government. And when you explain to people that way, then we start making progress.
Dr. Matt, thank you very much for spending some time with us. Hopefully we can...
Thank you, Dean.